Hotel. This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II, and with the Ralph Winterode Show out of the far north, Truth Seeker of the far north, and I've got George on in Florida. Go ahead. You got any further questions?
Yes. I just got from a source, like on my two vehicles I have, that mm-hmm. I am right into the Department of Motor Vehicles, and I want to get the, not my car title, but the certificate that comes from the manufacturer that they hold on to.
Yes, certificate of origin, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say if you get that, you don't have to register
Not
your
so.
Car.
Not so.
What's that?
And I tell you what, you call in and I'll do a show on that, but I can tell you right now that that's not so. The bottom line is the certificate of title or the certificate of origin is not the bill of lading. It does not show the true ownership. And I'll have to do a show, and it would take about a half hour to get into that because I've spent a lot of time on that. So if we want to call back on another day and we'll discuss that, that'd be great.
Yes. Because I'm probably like the only legal person that can have a driver's license because for hire, I do drive the highways as a commercial with a CDL license.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I can be licensed because I drive for hire and make money on the roads, just hauling, doing commerce.
Well, that's tied into that, too, because to have a driver's license is under 42, Section 666, Number 13, Number 2, and you got to be a citizen of the United States again. It goes right back to the same old status, a fictional status, and technically you may not have to have, quote, a driver's license like they have today. But, again, that's another whole show.
That sounds like the land of Oz, like if you're a citizen of the United States.
Well, it is. We're in, and that's why I'm trying to go through the courts today. I'm not going to get all the way through it, but try to lay some groundwork on the courts of what I can conclusively prove now after having read hundreds of these cases and try to get some understanding of it and then start putting it out on the list that I have. I have an email list. You're probably on one of my email lists. And then I have a special list for $120 donation where I attach documents and proof of this, or at least some of them. So, anyway, have you got any other questions on the court?
Yeah, it's like some of these administrative courts. I know you went through it because they say all the Constitution over, like when Admiralty and Equities and Admiralty Courts. And they say that was established under the War Powers Act of 1933. Is that kind of true? Or is it not?
Well, the bottom line is these courts are all admiralty equity contract courts. That's why in the child custody you will see they all have commercial or cooperative agreements behind the scenes for performance. And I haven't found the ones yet on the IRS and the courts, but I know they're there too. They're all contract courts. And the thing you want to remember is there is nothing to prohibit administrative courts mixing with the courts of law within the several states. If the people were smart, they would never allow those courts, like the founding fathers of the Constitution said the federal courts will not allow administrative stuff in there, and the reason why they don't, as soon as you allow administrative stuff, that means these people that are pounding on us have standing, but we can't fire them, and then Congress controls the courts. Because if it's an administrative court, they just write another statute, another code, regulation, whatever, and we're stuck, and we have no recourse. That's why you don't want administrative courts. You want courts of law where I have give a limited delegation of power that I can prove, and if you don't do what I want you to do, I can fire you.
Yes. One thing I would like to see repealed, and that would be called the 17th Amendment, because that wasn't like the 16th Amendment really ratified, because these U.S. senators, they're not really legally supposed to be there, that the legislature is supposed to select.
Well, that's just a little side thing here. So anyway, I'm going to continue on with the thing on the courts, and thanks for calling in, George.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Well, we're back from break. Ralph Kermit Winterroad, Ralph Winterroad Show, and we're talking about courts today. And if you got any question about courts, federal courts, particularly, call in at RBN. And by the way, I should mention, if you like shows like this that have getting down to the real truth, always consider donating. And RBN is on the air only because of donations. It takes money to make things happen. And there are several numbers, but 800-313-9443 is one number. There's other ones on the internet, republicbroadcasting.org. And also I have three email lists myself. Three of that are, it's J-U-S-B as in Bell, B-E-L-L-I.com, that are free to join. And then I have one called a special list, and you email me, and a $120 donation. And I include some court cases and different documents, so you don't have to go tracking around. Is one of the reasons why I started doing that is because I get a lot of emails, and it says this or says that, and then I spend half a day trying to find the documents in support and find out it's not even true. It's been misstated. So that's why I started doing that. Or anyway, getting back to the 1948. So the first problem that we run into that is conclusive and is still in Title 28 today, Section 132, is if Congress or the court and the judicial power cannot be vested in the court. It's supposed to be the judicial power of the United States. And the reason why it says that, judicial power of the United States, because my limited delegation of a grant to the United States is posited, is sitting in that Constitution. And so my limited delegation of power comes under that thing of called power, judicial power of the United States. And that's why it must be there. It absolutely, positively has got to be there. Now, one of the cases that the best cases that that I found on this is Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, versus United States, F-I-N-L-E-Y. And that's at 490 U.S. 545. It's a 1989 case, 490 U.S. 545. And it very succinctly states it. And this is, I'm citing, talking about out of this, and this has been supported by many other Supreme Court cases. It remains rudimentary law that, and this is a quote, as regards all courts of the United States inferior to this tribunal, two things are necessary to create jurisdiction, whether original or appellate. The Constitution must have given to the court the capacity to take it, and an act of Congress must have supplied it. To the extent that such action is not taken, the power lies dormant. So the Constitution must give to the court the capacity to take it. If it's a constitutional court, it has to be concerned about my limited delegation of power, called Laws of the United States. That's in Article 6. And the Bill of Rights, which is my protections. You can't do this, you can't do that. So the power comes from the Constitution. Congress, by statute, creates a court that can receive it or some part thereof. All of it or none of it. And that's the way it works. Quite clear. Now, in reading some of these cases, it's just absolutely astounding. There are some of these people that I am telling you are, it's just unbelievable, some of these judges that we've got in today, because most cases usually are somewhere on point. They really are. Most of them are correct. But Hunter's lessee, Martin versus Hunter lessee, directly gets into it. It's an on-point case. And there is no doubt about it. The judicial power of the United States, it says, shall be vested. Well, if we don't have judicial power vested, a court to deal with what's going on, the obvious question is, then how am I going to enforce whatever I need to be done? You can't. That's the issue. And these courts, there are actually some decisions of the Supreme Court of the United States, which is really scary, saying that the judicial power doesn't have to be vested anywhere. The Congress can withhold it all. But, of course, you got to go read what they're talking about, and then when you start to understand of the la-la land where these guys are living, then it makes sense, because in the administrative world, they're saying, oh, no, it's no big deal. Now, in Hunter's lessee, which, by the way, is 14 U.S. 304, it very succinctly, I mean, it is a great read. It really is. And it shall be vested is the part that's in the Constitution. And it shall be vested is in the Constitution for judicial power. But the real simple statement is, what is the legislature? The first part is to pass laws. The executive power is to approve and execute them, and the judicial power is to expound and enforce them. Well, if Congress passes laws under the legislative power, the executive approves them and executes them under the executive power, pray tell, if we don't have judicial power, how are they going to be enforced and expounded upon, explained to us? So we must have, and it's Hunter, it's Martin versus Hunter's lessee. And that is in 14 U.S. 304. And that particular case will happen in 1816. It's amazing. A lot of these issues were dealt with in the early years of our Constitutional Republic. So now, getting back to what is so astounding about what they did in 1948, what they did, that's why this book is so important, because the first thing is, it clearly, which is still there today, the judicial power can be controlled by law, by rule, or order of a court. That tells you right there, it's not the judicial power of the United States. Congress cannot touch judicial power of the United States. Its source is us through the Constitution. They create the vessel, the court, the statutory court. They can control what parts of judicial power for different courts. Okay? Now, with that thought in mind, the next question, that tells you right now that obviously we don't have a court, it's not a true Article III court established arising under Article III. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that nonsense, because that tells you right there, if Congress or a court can control our, quote, Bill of Rights, because you don't have it in there, it's all an administrative court where they're on the benefits, and they can just do whatever they want, as long as we don't wise up and throw them out or we have another revolution. Now, the other extremely important part of this is the revisor notes of that particular book. Now, let me just briefly go over, I don't know if it's time we got here. Yeah, we got enough time here to do this. Within the district court, or within the district, I'm sorry, within the district, the 10-mile square, Congress has plenary power. They operate in two capacities, and people want to use national government. It's not national. It's federal government. If you use the word national, it implies there are no several states and there's no sovereign people, and they dealt with that when they did the Constitutional Convention. It's a federal government, not a national government. So anyway, within the district, the Congress operates as a federal government, and they operate as one of the several states. They have two functions, so they have plenary power. Now, people somehow think that they can go to the District of Columbia and they're going to find the true Article III courts. Well, I got a surprise. I got some information for you. Not going to happen. Now, how they've gotten around that particular issue, Congress in the district creates Article I courts. Absolutely constitutional. They're established, and then it's been ruled by the Supreme Court. Once the court is established as an Article I court, then Congress can clothe it with Article III judicial powers of the United States. It's still an Article I court, and then they clothe it with an Article III court, so it looks like an Article III court. And it operates just like an Article III court, and it has the judicial power of the United States. And they get away with that only because if it's established as an Article I court first, then they can clothe it with the Article III court and make it look like an Article III court. But you want to be very, 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 very careful, because there is an interesting case that I came across here, if I can find it here quickly, that just shocked the living daylights out of me until I understood what's going on. And this one happened in 1973 in the Supreme Court. But once I finally got a good understanding of it, it makes perfect sense. Now, this court, this decision says if this actually happened in a superior court in the District of Columbia. It was in the District of Columbia. And this case is Palomar, P-A-L-M-O-R-E, versus U.S., 411 U.S. 389. That's 411 U.S. 389. But the thing that caught my eye when I was going through all these cases, it said not every judicial proceeding that implicates a charge, claim, or defense based on an act of Congress or law made during its authority must be presided over by a Article III judge. We're going to break, and I'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Well, we're back for another short segment, and then we'll have a long segment. This is Ralph Crum at Winter Road, Ralph Winter Road Show, and we're talking about the jurisdiction of the courts of the United States, or those that look like them today. And this particular case that I came across was an absolute, until I read it and analyzed it, this Palmore, P-A-L-M-O-R-E, because what was so astounding in this case when I came across this, I mean, this is the thing, is some of these things seem so totally out of tune with what's going on, but it said this case is talking about in here that criminal offenses under the laws passed by Congress may not be prosecuted except in courts established pursuant to Article 3. Now, they're talking about, now there's some key words that they're using here, but they don't talk about the laws of the United States. They're talking about the laws passed by Congress, and you read a little farther in this, and they're talking about an act of Congress or a law made under its authority. An act of Congress or a law made under its authority, which is Congress, means it's a law of the United States. Now, a law of Congress. Misspoke. And a law of Congress operates in the territories or in the district or in the fictional world of the citizen of the United States. The law of the United States is specifically spelled out in Article 6 of the Constitution. So what they're saying here is in the district, under a law of Congress, where Congress has plenary power, we don't need to have Article III judges. And they're also saying where you poor slaves out there haven't figured out how we've hoodwinked you, if you want to sign up to waive your surrender your inalienable rights for a benefit and be clothed with this fictitious status where we have a full, you've given us a full power of attorney, you don't have to have Article III judges. And that's what they're doing today. So now, with that case, like I say, I what's amazing is most of these cases are in accord with other cases, but you really have to go in and look and see what these guys are talking about, because these guys are the wordsmithers of extraordinary. I am telling you, they really got a handle on it. But the other thing, getting back to the United States District Court, because that's the one that most of us have application with on IRS criminal charges or lawsuits or wherever you go, that's your first instance court. There is a true District Court of the United States. It's still sitting there, but you have to know how to access it. You cannot use Title 28. No, because Title 28, that quote, is positive law. That's not in the Constitution of the United States. That's by tacit agreement. The authority is to make laws of the United States, not positive law. And it doesn't even say that at the beginning of this act. It just says law. It does not say laws of the United States. It does not even say the word positive law. It just says law. That's the law of Congress. In reality, is what's going on if you go back and read the act. But anyway, getting on to this, the thing that really is an absolute killer in this thing, why this book is so important for all aspects, because in Section 132, the revisor notes, they get around and tell you what they've done. And what they've done, they combined, quote, which they cannot do, but they've done it. They're getting it away with anything until somebody wises up. They created, quote, an Article III court out of the 1941 edition, Section 1, with Section 641 of Title 48, which is, guess what, territories and possessions, of the instrument of possessions. And I'll get into the territories here in a minute. We got Gary online from Tennessee. Go ahead, Gary.
How you doing, Ralph?
Well, I'm upright, got my health, and out of jail. Those are three good pluses to start today.
You're out of jail, and you're a free man in the woods of Alaska.
Absolutely.
I'm an ex-Chichaco, if you understand the term.
I'm sorry, what's the word?
Chichaco.
Oh, Chichaco, you bet. You are. Have you been up here and then you left, or what?
I'm ex-Chichaco.
Yeah, that's somebody that comes up here and then never figured out what's going on and doesn't want to really get with what we do in Alaska. Anyway, what's your question about courts today?
I'm going to say something that's going to make you really cringe, but I've been listening to you and Larry Beecraft and Tommy Crier and Sam Kennedy, and you all are so knowledgeable. I wish you could, you know, bury the hatchet and get together, and y'all got bits and pieces of this legal puzzle, and I'd like to see that happen.
Well, I don't have any hatchet with Tom Crier. Don't even know the man. Crier and Beecraft are on the radio RBN, and
yeah,
so
I
really...
I listen to them.
Yeah, so I signed a contract that I really can't get into discussions with about them, without them being on the show. The only thing that I can say is that Larry Beecraft and I have a extremely different point of view, and Tom Crier, I have no idea about the man. I don't even know him.
Well, different points of view are not bad.
Hold on a minute. We're going to break. I hear the music here, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Well, we're back for a break. Ralph Kermit Winter Road, the second. With the Ralph Winter Road Show out of the far north, beautiful day in Alaska. We love people to come and visit. We just don't want you to stay. Leave your money. Does that sound like something? Anyway, you still online there, Gary? Hello, Gary. Okay, let's go ahead then to Jeff in Vermont.
Hey, Ralph, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great today. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it's beautiful down here, too. I got a property tax question for you. A friend of ours is going through property taxes, and she's got the money to pay the property taxes, but she did all this UCC filing, and she did a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. But the bottom line is that they're going to have a tax sale on her house, and she thinks by filing all this stuff into the courts and into the town clerks and the county clerks and going like verbatim by the UCC that she doesn't have to pay the taxes, but we're telling her that she has to pay them because they're going to come and take their house. I mean, they're going to enforce at the barrel of a gun, and they're just going to take it. They don't care what it is. They just want their money. And she doesn't think that she owes them any money because she filed this paperwork, and she might be right. And she follows the laws of the state of Vermont and way back when about Supreme Court cases.
Let me cut you short because we're talking about courts. But I can tell you right now, these people, unless you have the knowledge to go after them. And property taxes is another whole issue, and I'm going to be I'm actually working on that, and I'll probably do a show on property taxes. I have tracked it down a couple of things. Of course, in Alaska, we don't own anything, and most of us don't if we understand it, because up here you've signed away everything. All we are is tenants on the property owned by the government. It actually says that in the Constitution of the state of Alaska. One of the interesting aspects of property taxes is that they have what's called the service areas, and any time you sign up for telephone, electricity, you have then agreed to pay property taxes. And there's a hook in there. But as far as her filing some of this and thinking that that's going to stop these people, I'm telling you what, these people are out of control, and I would say her chances are somewhere between slim and non-existent.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. Anyway, we're talking about, you have any questions on courts today, federal courts?
I do, actually. Would the court system and the Congress dictating the jurisdiction of the court and the Supreme Court, what they can and cannot hear cases, and would the executive power under control, its legislative tyranny and judicial tyranny, I mean, how can anybody that they capitalized our whole, you know, governmental system now, what solution do we have except for, you know, going to the car? I mean, I'm a peaceful person, but that, it seems like there's got to be either a revolution or something that's got to happen, because maybe I'm a pessimistic, but I can't really see anything stopping this, really, except for education.
Well, there are ways, I would think, too, and that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. First of all, we're living in an overturned country, and there's a war being waged on the people, and we do not understand the war. And if you're going to go to war, you better understand how you got into slavery, and you better understand what weapons you can use against those guys on the other side. And I'm doing all legal and lawful, peaceful means, and I say peaceful because they're looking to lock me up, but I'm doing all lawful and legal, peaceful means to expose them for what they are and to find their jugular points. And like I say, in this appellate court, they affirmed all of the other issues that that was filed in on this brief, because using the administrative stuff and understanding it in the law, you can put this stuff together. And I was interested to see if they'll even recognize some of this, and I was shocked when they did. And that's why on these United States District Courts, which is the next part I'm going to get into here, is understanding the second part of this, to understand what's really going on in that court.
But do they know?
Some people say, well, the Court of International Trade is an Article III court. I don't doubt it may be. But the problem is, if you can visualize that it is a big tank of water, is the judicial power, that's our inalienable rights, and they can give it a little teeny stream, little pissy stream into that court of the judicial power of the United States. But the problem is, does it have anything to do with my inalienable rights that I can access and use concerning this unlawful government that we have? That's the issue. See, it's a tough concept because the judicial power can be controlled by Congress where it puts it in one court, but it can't control the source of it, and they can't say what it is, because if it controls the judicial power, then we have no court system. The courts are supposed to be independent, and that's what they've done today, and that's what I'm going to finish up here, the segment, is talking about how this next thing that I'm working into is how they combined it with a territorial court. And that's why in the statutes today you always see the territory of Guam, the territory of the Marianas, on and on and on. Why do they do that? And there's a reason. Okay?
Thank you, Ralph. Great show.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is... which is very enlightening, and we're not going to get through all this today, so I'll continue on next week. And by the way, if anybody has any questions on this, Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, at JustBelly, J-U-S, B as in Bell, B-E-L-L-I.com, and I will answer any and all questions. And the other gentleman that talked about B-Craft and... Tom Cryer, and if you email me, I'm under no restrictions on email, and I put it right out front, and I don't have a problem with that, and I may even try to get B-Craft or Tom Cryer on my show. I would love to have a discussion with both of them, and we'll just see what happens. You know, I don't have any problems with I try to back everything I do with facts, and I do my own research, and I try to be extremely meticulous. But anyway, getting to it, I want to waste my time here because we don't have much. I want to get to this other point because that's really an important point. Why this book is important, because in the reviser notes, which is really, really what makes this court valuable, and then, of course, all of the other judges and congressmen that put all of these opinions in to support this great epic, this epical change in the law, which is what they what they label it, is they, in the reviser notes, let the cat out of the bag. They combined a, quote, Article III court with a territorial court, Section 631 out of the 1940 Code. By the way, I have the 1940 Code books, and I'm in the process of getting all those copied and OCR'd. I also am in the copy of, or in the process of OCRing all of the statutes at large up through about 1998, so you can OCR them, or so you can word search them. And I'm going to make that available, too, because if we don't have the information and the knowledge here, and hopefully the wisdom to use it, that this, the ball game's over. But now, and they're telling us they combined a Article III court with a territorial court. Of course, we all know, hopefully, it seems illogical, but the first case that goes back to this, one of the earliest cases, is American Insurance Company versus 356 bales of cotton. And it was to do over admiralty. And it's 26 U.S. 511. And this was in 1828. And this is really, I mean, this is a key. And there's another thing that I don't want to forget is why did they combine it with the territorial court and not the district? These courts, they're talking about territorial courts, are not constitutional courts in which the judicial power conferred by the Constitution on the general government can be deposited. They are incapable of receiving it. They are legislative courts created by virtue of the general right of sovereignty which exists in the government, and in virtue of that clause which enables Congress to make all needful rules, and I'll stop, rules are government, and regulation, that means Congress operating as one of the states, which is what they're doing, respecting the territory. And when you say the territory, it means the property belonging to the United States. A territory is the political. The territory is the property. Now, there's another nuance I picked up. The jurisdiction with which they are invested is not part of the judicial power, which is defined in the third article of the Constitution, but is conferred by Congress in the execution of those general powers which the body possesses over the territories of the United States. In legislating for them, Congress exercises the combined powers of a general and of a state government. And that's the end of the quote. They are incapable of receiving it. So now the question is, why did they pick on the territories? Why not combine it with, I don't know, Article I courts? Well, you see, they want to have an Article I court within the several states, where Congress can legitimately create, like the Court of Claims, a true Article I court. When they create the territorial courts, there is no, it's totally outside the Constitution. It's totally removed from the Constitution. So now we can make the thing that they did very innocuously, the federal question, the federal state, citizen or subject, make application, because these territorial courts are sitting outside the Constitution. The United States is about within the several states. What goes on there between the difference of power, the judicial, legislative, executive power is divided between a, quote, federal government and between a government of one of the several states. When we get under the territories, anything that's not repugnant to the Constitution of the United States, Congress can get away with. And there's another important part. Rules and regulations. Government rules, and then they make regulations. Anybody ever heard of the CFRs, the Code of Federal Regulations? This is the reason why they combined it with the territorial courts. Now, you can't create a territorial court and vest it with Article III powers. You can make it look like it, but it's not there. That's why you will always find, you can go into the Social Security Act, you can go into the Internal Revenue Service, and you always find state includes a territory of ad nauseum baloney. Great. As soon as you said that, that tells me that that, quote, United States District Court has no judicial power of the United States. Zero, zip, nada. It looks like, but it's not. Because it absolutely, positively can never, ever be combined. And there are several cases on that that are, let's see if I can find them here quickly as I'm running through my stuff here. looking for my notes here. But anyway, there are several cases, Postum is one of them, that goes along with this. And it, unexplicitly, based on another case, Keller, says that you can't do that within the several states. That court, district court of the United States, when it's established, arising under Article III in all cases in law and equity, which means Congress can't control what cases go into the court. They can control the jurisdiction, the subject matter of the cases, but they can't control how you get into the court. They have the power, and they have to put it all there. That's Martin versus Hunter's lessee. So what they've done in 1948, they created the appearance of an Article III court because they combined the territorial court. They just made it up, a territorial court outside of the Constitution, and they granted the judicial power of a district court. How do you have judicial power of a district court? Judicial power of the United States. If you have judicial power of the district court, that means, just like it says, any rule, order, or what Congress does is the rule of law in that court. If that judge tells you you can't go to the bathroom, you can't go to the bathroom. Of course, you're not going to do something that obvious, but it means you are being ruled by a dictator. And it means you're under the Roman civil law, just like the Praetorian law. Whatever that guy says sitting up there, he doesn't work for us. We can't fire him. He has the appearance, because he's wearing a black robe, that he has a civil commission. But his civil commission is incorrect because his the seal on it is under the Department of Justice. He's in the executive side. And you go back to the original civil commissions where he's authorized and empowered in the United States. A true civil commission must have the seal of the United States if he's an officer of the United States. But a Secretary of State, and that act is still alive and well. It's never gone anywhere. So what is the United States District Court? We're not going to have time to get into the other courts. I'll probably pick up next week and review some of this because this is really a mind twist. Because there are combinations of all of these courts out here and they're so modeled up and it's really tough to understand what these guys are doing. But what is a true United States District Court? It is a court in the land of Oz on the same standing as a territorial court. That's what it is. That's as close to anything that you're ever going to describe it. And it has the appearance of an Article III court exercising the judicial power. But it can't go there. When you use those words, if you say arising under Article III in all cases in law and equity, exercising the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States, it can't go there. You will go back and look at the Judiciary Act of 1789, and you will always see under the authority of the United States. It's not under the authority of the United States. They also, in 1948, took out all crimes and offenses, and they split it out of Title 28 and put that back over into Title 18. Now it's just offenses. There's no crimes and offenses anymore because they can't do them. And they took out under the authority of the United States. Title 18, and they totally dropped it out of Title 28. And then, now that the ruse is over, of the citizen of the United States was just for the Negroes. Now they've sucked everybody into it, so we're all in the same boat going over Niagara Falls. The vindication, that's a nice word, isn't it? To be vindicated, that you didn't do it. In 1948, had been buried in Title 28 in the judiciary, and it popped over into Title 42, 1981, 1982, and 1988. We no longer, we've hit it for all of these years, since the revised statutes from 1878 to 1948. So what's that, about 70 years? And, well, these people, I mean, we've gone through a couple generations, and they'll never figure this out. And another really important part of this, because it's a public record, is conclusive and legal evidence. Conclusive and legal evidence, because in here it tells the dastardly, dirty deeds that these treasonous SOBs were doing, and I hear the music, and we'll be back in a minute for the last segment.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
This is Ralph Clement Winter Road. I'm back for the last segment, and I guess we have Gary in Tennessee. You got a question on the courts?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear the click, so I didn't know I was on. You know, you rattle off all these cases and legal quotes and whatever. I'd pay hard money if you put that on a CD and made it available.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am in the process of putting together a book. I'm in the process of making the DVD. The DVD's been on hold, but I'm in process of putting it together in a book because I do my own research, and I'm not being arrogant. I hope not, anyway. I try not to be. But I don't think anybody's walking where I'm walking. And the reason why I do this, my own stuff, is because I don't want to. I look at other people's material. I get occasionally an idea. But I am methodically plodding along here what I can prove. And it's absolutely astounding. Like this last, what I'm talking about today is the work of probably skim reading and reading some. I had one case that was 32 pages long. I spent 10 hours reading that sucker.
You know,
because it was just all over the place, and until you can get the overview and finally figure out the game, it's like a game of chess. You look at a game of chess, and if you don't know how the pieces move, you sit there scratching your head.
If you could order these cases on a CD where one could read through,
well, some of these cases, if you want these cases, you get on my special list. It's $120
special list.
Okay, well, you're going to be getting some of them then. I'm going to be putting some of them out, and I'll be taking some time to write down what to look for in each one of these cases. So if you're already there, you're already going to be getting them.
I'm an ex-Chicho, but Alaska didn't run me out because I couldn't hang. I came south to finish my education, a degree in electrical engineering, and... then the divorce came, and I just didn't want to be that far away from my kids, so Alaska didn't beat me.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, thanks for calling, and I got to just finish up here and with a closing argument, but thanks for calling there, and Gary. So anyway, kind of in a brief summation of what these United States District Courts are, they are courts that are akin to a territorial court because they combined them with a court of the territory of Hawaii. They clothed it to look like an Article III court, but it can never go there. And the real killer is the judicial power of a district court. It's not the judicial power of the United States as the source of what goes on. So the judicial power of the district court translates, which it goes right on and says, is the judge. So what that means is, whatever that guy says in front, he makes it up, and that's the, quote, rule of law in that court. That's the game. Interesting game, isn't it? Most of us have probably figured out there's no, as a matter of law, there's no Bill of Rights in there because these judges just do whatever they feel like. And they get away with it. The IRS does whatever they feel like because, like I say, I've got it in a brief under the signature of a United States District Judge denying a trial and also got it under the DOJ out of 6012 is where the law is that requires you to file the return. Anyway, that's it for this Sunday, and stay tuned, and I hope you'll show up on my list, JustBelly.com. If you got any questions, Ralph at JustBelly. Donate to RBN. That's what keeps us around. And we'll be back next Sunday, God willing.
It's true.